Please stand for our gospel reading from Luke chapter 14. When one of those at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus said to him, "A certain man made a great banquet and invited many people. When it was time for the banquet, he sent out his servant to tell those who were invited, 'Come, because everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one told him, 'I bought a field, and I need to go and see it. I ask you to excuse me.' Another one said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, and so I'm unable to attend.' The servant arrived and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' The servant said, 'Master, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the servants, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and urge them to come in so that my house may be filled. Yes, I tell you that none of those men who are invited will taste my banquet.' O Lord, have mercy on us." Birds of a feather flock together. People with the same tastes or interests gather themselves together. Oftentimes you can just look at a person and know a lot about them. What kind of clothes do they wear? How is their hair cut? Do they have piercings or tattoos? With simple questions like these, you will have a pretty good idea of what their social class is, what kind of work they do or don't do, who their friends are, and what their family life is probably like, etc. You will also know if you are one of them. If they are from your class of people, then you are more likely to interact with them. If they are from a higher class of people, then you might be a little bashful. If they are from a lower social class, then you might disdain them. Nobody has to teach us to do this kind of thing. We all do it. We were already doing it by the time we were in middle school, and by the time we were in high school, the social classes were almost set in stone. There were the rich kids, the poor kids, and the people in between. Each group dressed and acted in a different way, and each group protected themselves from the others. Each group regarded themselves as the best, for one reason or another. It was therefore dangerous to go from one group to another. If you left your own group and started associating with another group, you might not be accepted by that new group. Plus, you might not be welcomed back into your old group. Haven't you heard the saying, "Be careful who you associate with"? If you start hanging out with losers, other people will see it, and what will they think of you? People will start to say, "Oh, you're one of them." Some people don't care what others think of them, but most people care intensely about such things. Now let's apply this to Jesus' story in our gospel reading. A man put on a great banquet. This must have meant that he was a man of means. It also appears that there were formal invitations that went out. This also indicates that the man was from a certain class. And finally, the excuses indicate that the people to whom the invitations went probably were from the same class. These were people who could afford to buy new fields and big machinery. But the man's invitation were rejected by the people of this class. Then an entirely different class of people end up getting invited in. The servant is told to go out quickly into the streets and alleys, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The man needs to have more guests. But the servant had already done that. Now what? Go and beat the bushes. Compel them to come in. You won't find members of the country club hanging out in alleys and in the medians of highways. If you round up people from such places, you are going to find that they have different problems than the country club variety. So perhaps when everything is said and done, everybody ends up being happy. The man who puts on the banquet ended up with a bunch of losers. They're happy enough getting a free meal out of the deal. Those originally invited are happy too. They weren't hurting for food. If they could afford those big ticket items, certainly they could go to a nice restaurant. Plus, they didn't need to pollute themselves by hanging out with people who were poor, crippled, blind, and lame. They probably laughed at the man who had invited them when they heard about that ridiculous gathering. They thanked their lucky stars that they hadn't accepted the invitation. Everybody's happy. But Jesus is not just talking about social dynamics with this story. He's talking about the kingdom of God. This banquet, you might say, is the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. These people are not just being invited for a meal, they're being invited to salvation. But there are social dynamics involved, even with the invitation to salvation. The old saying, birds of a feather flock together, holds true here too. The thing that is different is the feather. What tastes and interests hold together the group who would be at the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom? These tastes and interests are obvious and distinct from the ways that we associate otherwise. Believing Christians are concerned about Jesus and his teachings. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before others, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him I will be ashamed when I come in the glory of the Father." Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. He has come to destroy the works of the devil. He has come to redeem us and make us holy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are being conformed to Jesus' image. We learn from Jesus, and we teach others what we have been taught. This is what holds Christians together as a group. However, it is all too easy to make a Christian congregation into something else. One of the biggest issues at the time of Jesus and the apostles was how the people of God were all descendants of Abraham. They were all from one people. They had customs and norms that were centuries old. They also had Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets testify to Jesus being the Christ. But they rejected Moses and the prophets. They stuck with their own Jewish standards instead. This is the background to Jesus' story today. If there is any royal people among human beings, it would have to be the Jews. They are the chosen nation. They were given the law and the promises. These are the people who should be invited to the banquet. They are the right people. They have the right standing. But when the fullness of time came, and the Son of God was born under the law to redeem us from the law, they did not recognize their time of visitation. They did not recognize the banquet. If anything, they noticed that their one-time Jewish friends, people like Paul or Peter, who had become Christians, were associating with loser Gentiles who ate unclean food and were uncircumcised. It didn't take a lot of convincing for them to reject an invitation like that. They much preferred their own customs that they had made for themselves. The same thing can and does happen today, but the roles have changed. Gentiles have been grafted into the vine of salvation. Most of us, through our Gentile ancestors, have been grafted in. We have the treasures that once only belonged to the descendants of Abraham. The invitation to salvation sounds forth among us. Well, how has that invitation to salvation been received? And how do we react when people from another class begin to hear that call and are ushered in? The middle class, our class, has gotten tired. There are a lot of things besides the gospel call that they would rather spend their energy, money, time pursuing. Allegiances to other things have grown strong among our respectable middle class folks. The thing that should unite all Christians is very weak. Believing in Jesus, loving his words, carrying one's cross, loving fellow members of the congregation has not been the main concern. Family, 401ks, inheritances, vacations, sports, new cars, and any other number of things get top billing. From generation to generation, we are getting weaker and weaker. So to answer our first question, the invitation to salvation has not fared well among our people. And now to our second. What would our reaction be to a different class of people hearing the call and entering in? The people from our own class and those who are from a higher class than us are not interested. They have their stuff that they've bought that they'd rather be engaged with. What would happen if poor people started to come to our congregation? People who are not from our socioeconomic feather. In the abstract, we all think that this would be just great. The more the merrier. But what if they didn't dress like you, or talk like you, or have the same problems as you? What if they were poor, crippled, blind, and lame? What if they came from the highways and byways? I've seen with my own eyes the way that we receive members in our congregation from our own class versus having visitors from different classes of people. There is a lot more warmth with the former than there is with the latter. In a way, this is natural. We have an easier time talking to people with whom we have a lot in common. We are somewhat ill at ease with people who are different from us. But it is very important for us to recognize as a Christian congregation that we already are supposed to have those things that hold us together. And those things do not have to do with the way that we dress or speak or what we enjoy doing with our free time. We are one body. We have one spirit. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Being disciples of Jesus, believing that Jesus is Lord, is what holds us together. This transcends and is separate from any other social factors that we might otherwise have. This can and will put us in a tight spot when our loyalties are tested. There may very well be members of this congregation who don't care very much about what we teach, how we pray, or the life that we have, sharing things in common with Jesus. What might be important to them are other factors. For example, this place might hold a lot of memories. There are a lot of friends who go here. Maybe the socializing is nice. If other people start to come, this might throw the whole thing out of whack, at least to their thinking. So in such a case, who are you going to associate with? There are only two possibilities and only one right action. The two possibilities are to be with those who believe in Jesus or to be with those who believe in whatever else. Christians have no other choice than to rejoice and support their fellow believers, no matter who they might be. If they do not do this, they are simply showing their true colors as ones who despise the master of the banquet, who has invited them and others into this gathering. When John received a revelation from God, a vision of heaven, this is how he described it. After these things I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne and of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands. And they called out with a loud voice and said, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." These people of heaven, these people who have received and embraced the invitation to the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end, these people are totally varied. As John says, there are people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. What unites them is that they cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Among these people will be rich people, poor people, and people in between. There will be white people, black people, Asian people, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Most of them will have lived earthly lives where they were poor, crippled, blind, and lame, at least metaphorically speaking. As Paul says, not many who were wise, not many who are strong, not many who are born with high status are Christians. God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chooses the lowly things of the world and the things that are not to do away with the things that are, so that no one may boast in the presence of God. So we are presented with a warning from Jesus today. We must not do as the vast majority of the Jews did. We must not despise the invitation to salvation because we prefer other things and because we do not want to associate with the lowly. Those are real temptations. If there is someone who should come to church who's not from the same background as us, we dare not give them the cold shoulder, glare, or look down at them. If anyone were to do that, then every single true Christian must take the side of the weak and the despised, rather than sticking together with those who are from their same social class. Do not be ashamed of Christ, or of Christ's words, or of whomever he might call to be his disciple, no matter who that person might be. If the person has become a disciple of Jesus, then whatever is truly offensive or evil about them is already forgiven, and they are in the process of being healed. This means that they are in the same boat as any one of us Christians. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.